getting into shore shape. It's time to get out of shore shape. It's time to get into couch shape. Football weather. Hello, everybody.
Couch shape.
Couch shape. Of course, I'm in couch shape year-round. I saw the other day, well, not the other day, yesterday, on the scale, I'm now 186. So, John, this might have been before. Maybe you were here when I did this.
You're 186?
186,
you
yesterday.
You weigh 186 pounds?
Yeah, it's not good.
You know, I weigh 200 pounds.
14 off, my man.
That does not make sense.
Soon I'm the fullback and you're the bench warmer.
You should not weigh 14
no,
pounds less
than that. I shouldn't. So, I did give up chocolate and Coke about 10 days ago. And
You said it was
great
dessert.
Job.
So now it's just chocolate?
Chocolate and Coke.
I think I said just chocolate.
You said dessert.
Whatever you're doing,
well,
it's not enough.
I meant chocolate.
Okay.
Hey,
that's still brave of you.
Up the ante, buddy.
With what?
Whatever you're doing, it's not good enough.
No, I just started. I mean, just give me a second here. I mean, my God. All right, let's welcome in Mr. Reuben Amara, fresh off from a trip in Kansas City. Good morning, Reuben.
Good morning, everybody.
So, how are you, buddy?
I'm great. I'm trying to pick up the energy in here because...
Wait, you ripping us? You come in,
I'm coming ripping hard.
You rip us? All right, let me rip you. For those that don't know, in the commercial break, Reuben's scrambling around trying to figure out how his microphone works. Seltzer, just so you know what Reuben did, I thought he was a trained radio professional. Reuben Amaro walked in here with his own... what do you call these things? Cans that are, what do you put on your ears?
Headphones.
Headphones. James, it had an attachment for a microphone, and he thought that the thing that he walked in with should just magically, go out on the air.
Come on, buddy.
I would think that could work.
And talking in the microphone right in front. There's a microphone in front of you.
That's true. But it would have been cool if that little mic on his headphone
It would have been
too.
Really cool. He's still struggling with something over there. We'll get you situated. Can you hear James, by the way, Reuben?
James, talk
to
me.
Hey, Reuben. Can you hear me?
I got him now.
We did it.
All right. So, Ranger, is that the biggest takeaway from the
weekend? Huge. The two takeaways. One, the offense sort of turned things around, but Ranger was gigantic for a number of reasons. Obviously, you know, you're not getting the performance you need out of Taiwan Walker, so that's huge that you have Ranger back. Now, is he all the way back? I don't know. He's going to pitch, probably get with 5 days rest, not 4 days rest, because they're being really careful about his back spasm. Mm. They don't want those to bounce back. But the fact that he was so sharp after not really going out on rehab and just throwing simulated games, pretty damn impressive. That was huge for this team. It's gigantic because it really, you know, you talk about how great the offense is and they spend a lot of money on the offense and all that. You know what? None of that matters if they don't pitch. And if they have those four guys the way they can pitch, it's extraordinary. It's
that's
not
what,
good.
That
it's
was,
extraordinary.
That was the best part of the team to start the season.
No doubt.
They were rolling out four dudes and at times five. That were just lights out. And
they were historic for a bit there. A couple months of historic baseball from them.
No doubt.
All right, so the lineup, so the guys that hit, I mean, I know that's the other thing you were just referencing.
Yeah, I just think it was so important for the guys like Marsh and Stott to just to come around and swing the bats. And, you know, I think that their leash was getting shorter and shorter. Dave Nebraska doesn't screw around. And if these guys weren't going to be performing, I mean,
you're talking about next year?
I'm talking about now.
What a relief for them to get that in. Now, how much of that is bad Royals? How much of that is
good? Well, they had good? Some good
pitchers. Good.
They had some good starting pitching. Yeah. I think that they finally jumped on some mistakes, and they hadn't been doing that. They had a little bit better discipline. They struck out less than they did against the Atlanta Braves. They put the ball in play. I mean, even guys Johan Rojas just touched the baseball. I mean, even that bad hop bounce, he put the ball in play. You know, Bryson Stott put the ball in play, and it bounced over the second baseman's head. But nothing happens if you don't put the ball in play.
Right.
And so I think they did that a little bit better.
Why is Bryson struggling so much with that this year? Because he was always, I don't remember any swoon like this entire season has felt for him.
Yeah, so for me, my observation on him, I think it's pretty simple. I think that he got off to a little bit of a slow start, and I think he tried to make up for it by trying to drive the ball out of the ballpark. And he was working underneath the baseball, a lot of collapsing. You see his knee come down, working underneath of the baseball. When he stands tall and drives the ball and stays on top of the ball using his top hand, he talked about it last year, he wasn't doing it as consistently. Now he's doing it and driving the ball the other way and using the middle of the field. And when he gets base hits in the middle of the field and left, it's it's much, much better. That's what I see right now. Hopefully he can stay in that rhythm.
All right, 215-592-9494 to weigh in on the Phillies from the weekend. What stood out to you the most? Again, your reaction on Taiwan, your reaction on Ranger, the bats. And do you think the Phillies are, in fact, back? Are you ready to say that yet? I'm not. Now, you know, maybe it's soon, but it's too early for me to declare them back. But I will say it was very encouraging Saturday and Sunday, and the Ranger thing most encouraging. You want to comment on the debacle of what was supposed to be entertainment on Saturday afternoon from 1 to 4, please do. I thought that Eagles game was a disgrace. And obviously the construction of the team, we'll get into that more. Defense also, whether it's good enough, we'll address that shortly. Salvador right now in Coatesville. Salvador, good morning, buddy.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
Hi, Salvador.
Yeah, that was, man, that I couldn't even watch that game, that preseason game, dude. I turned it on and started watching it, and I'm like, who? I didn't know anybody that was on the field.
Nobody.
And it was so sloppy. Young kids who are out there, it was sort of like, let's see who can make a play, who might surprise us and have a chance to make this team. But it really felt like that entire game was disposable.
And Salvatore, I felt bad for people because I know there were a lot of people in the Delaware Valley tasked with this decision. Should I do what I would normally do on a Saturday from 1 to 4? Or should I watch the Eagles game or go to the Eagles game? Like, you know, there's people that went to the link who otherwise would have been down the shore. And they're like, you know what? Nah, I got to go to the Eagles game. It's an Eagles game. And they probably had to be sitting there by the fourth play saying to themselves, my God, I should be down the shore right now.
Yeah, I know people that went to that game. They were pretty disappointed. What would you have done instead of that?
I probably would have gone down the shore and taped it and made sure I watched it before our show. Salvador, I will say this. If not for our show, I would have turned it off in the middle of the first quarter. And I mean that. That's how bad I thought it was.
I didn't feel that bad about it first quarter-wise. But, man, I never get like that. I enjoy seeing like little things like, hey, what are they going to try to run? Are they going to blitz the linebackers when they sugar them up in the A gap?
But it's also fake anyway.
They're doing the opposite.
It was vanilla
sometimes. On top of vanilla.
Yeah.
I mean, occasionally they'd bring a backer.
They don't want to give up any secrets, man.
Well, that's the thing, too.
It's the secrets.
You know how Nick gets so uptight about, hey, we don't want to give up away any competitive advantage.
Right.
We know that none of that has anything to do with what we'll do this season.
Here's what I'll say about the game in the biggest picture. It was the first time I ever felt that a preseason football game, to me, took on the worthlessness of a preseason hockey game, basketball game, or spring training game. And at least with a spring training game, you get a little bit of a vibe of, you know, there's that excitement of like you're coming out of the winter, you see baseball in Florida, it's on your TV, and so there's a little bit something there that's nice. Ruben, I remember you and I were hanging out in my apartment in March, and we flipped on a Phillies game, and we were just like, weren't intently watching it, but
seriously?
We were just... What?
We were hanging out at my apartment in March.
Phillies game was casually on. But
I guess our invites, you know, just got lost. It's fine.
It was the Amari Lang
camera.
Ruben, you were at Joe's apartment.
I tipped back a couple of beers.
Watching a game?
Yeah, a couple times.
Yeah. I am positive. I've never been in that situation.
I think you're going to make him jealous. Yeah. I think you made him jealous.
I've invited him. I mean, this is a guy that, you know,
has... that's debatable. I don't recall that.
On at least a couple of occasions I've been to his apartment.
What?
Yeah. Chin up there, kid.
We hang, man.
At least a couple occasions?
We go out in Old City.
Yeah, we've had moments.
We're bar hoppers together. I mean, you know, I'm always amazed.
That's true.
People are very cool to you. I mean, not that they shouldn't be, but... you know, people let you be you, and every once in a while someone will come up and say hi and all that, and you're great with it. But, like, people let you just do your thing.
You know? What
do you
I don't know what that means.
Well, I mean, it's not Michael Bay.
It's not Tom Cruise or something.
No, he's not Michael Jordan, but he's also not, you know, Joe Smith.
I'm recognized from time to time. You know, not all the time.
Oh, by the way, you know what I meant to say to you? This is the first time we've had you on the show since the alumni weekend.
Yes.
You got a really nice applause.
That was nice, huh?
And you know what that's about?
What is it?
People are happy that you're back involved. They respect you. And they showed you a lot of love with that applause. When the former players, of which you're one, or GM, walked on the field, you got a very nice... That had to feel good, right?
Yeah, and it was nice. I get, you know, I've gotten boos in the past. but no, that was cool. And it was great to be part of it.
Good, man. 215-592-9494. What Dotson said over the weekend upon joining the Eagles, we'll get to that. Actually, my two favorite pieces of audio from the weekend. We'll get to that as well. Rob Thompson on Taiwan Walker and how Elliot Short Parks breaks down the Eagles roster, his prediction for who they're going to keep and cut. That and more. Joe DeCameron, John Ritchie. It's 94 WIP. Hey, let me tell you about PI Dental Center. With their decades of experience in complex dental treatment, what a great time, obviously, to get yourself to PI Dental Center. And isn't it time to invest in yourself? I certainly say it is. So get yourself there in Fort Washington. You know, I've been a patient of PI Dental now for 2 decades. My mom, a patient of PI Dental for 3 decades, because they're the best. With Dr. Glenn Wolfinger and Dr. Robert Slough, both board-certified prosthodontists, they specialize in the restoration and the replacement of teeth. PI Dental Center are also the originators of the teeth in a day. That's a revolutionary treatment that delivers fixed teeth and implants placed for a dramatic transformation in a mere 1 day. I strongly encourage you to get yourself to PI Dental Center, where whether it's year-to-year maintenance or a major issue that requires a big-time solution, which they can provide. Visit PIDentalCenter.com. To start the whole process, visit PIDentalCenter.com to request your new patient evaluation.
Brought to you by Borgata Hotel, Casino, and Spa. Phillies beat the Royals 11-3 yesterday and wrap up their road trip with a series win. The Phils put up 22 runs in their last two games. Every starter had at least one hit yesterday, with Nick Castellanos finishing it off with a two-run home run.
Castellanos in the pitch, swung on, hit deep, left field. Going back, Melendez looking up. It's into the Phillies bullpen. An exclamation point for Castellanos. A line drive, two-run home run, his 17th of the year. And it's 11-3 Phillies.
With that, the Phillies' lead in the NL East jumps back to 6 games, and they build some momentum in a 13-game stretch against teams that currently hold a playoff spot. Zach Wheeler will be on the mound as the Phils host the Astros for a 3-game series starting tonight. Visit BorgataSports.com for boosted odds specials, daily promotions, in-game betting, and much more. Must be 21 or older, must be in New Jersey. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Weather today, sunny with a high of 87. It's currently 66. To listen to 94 WIP, just download the free Odyssey app or tell your smart speaker to play 94 WIP.
Great to be with you as we crank up another week. Believe it or not, the final week of what we traditionally view as the summer. Memorial Day to Labor Day, so enjoy this one. Look, there's always a bad and a good to this. The bad, obviously, we love the summer and it's coming to an end. The good, football season. Football season. And it gets real. Next week, the Eagles with a Friday night game in Brazil next week. So obviously we'll crank up coverage of that hardcore next week. And we'll lay out, you know, in the coming days, our entire lineup for this football season. Obviously, last year we had a number of guests, you know, slotted into every day in certain segments. And we'll detail all that for you coming up in the next few days. 215-592-9494. By the way, speaking of coming up, James, something very cool tonight in baseball. A lot of people probably don't know. Can you explain this? What's this guy's name?
Danny Jansen.
Can you explain, James,
that's very cool,
what is going on with Danny Jansen?
Yes, I love this so much. I showed it to my wife yesterday. That's how nerdy I am. I thought this was so cool. So Danny Jansen was a catcher for the Blue Jays back in June when the Red Sox and the Blue Jays played a game. The game got suspended till the next time they faced each other in the same ballpark, which is now today. Since then, Danny Jansen has gone and changed teams from the Blue Jays to the Red Sox.
Did they trade him or cut him?
I think he got cut. I'm not 100% sure how he traded teams, how he changed teams.
Yep.
So Dan Jansen, now on the other team, suspended game is going to continue today. Ironically, Danny Jansen was the player who was at bat when the game got suspended. Now Alex Cora has announced he will be catching for the Red Sox, so he will be catching for the at bat that he started The wow. other way around, he's the first player to ever play on both two teams in the same game, and he's actually the same at bat that he was in is the at bat that's
happening.
That's
incredible.
Isn't that unbelievable?
So when this thing's done, John, he's going to be in the box score on both teams. Like oh, yeah. That's an amazing.
Wow. Yeah. How do you rate that up,
Ruben? What's the craziest thing you've seen in baseball?
To chart
that's,
that?
That's got to be
one of them. We had it. It happened when I was playing. It was a switch hitting outfielder, and I'm brain cramping on his name right now. And he went from their dugout to our dugout in one series.
Traded?
The Dodgers to the Phillies. Wow. Switch hitting outfielder, and it was because I stunk, and they needed somebody to play better.
Ooh, no.
Really?
Oh, wow.
And so they switched. It was Stan Javier. Stan Javier was switched from he's a nice little player.
Yeah.
Good. He played for a bunch of teams, but he literally
was... Look at you say nice little player as if you were Babe Ruth. You were a nice little player. You don't get to call someone else a nice little player.
Yes, I do.
I mean, Ted Williams can call the 23rd guy on a team a nice little player.
Well, when you've
evaluated players for years, that's what you can do. He was a nice little player. He actually has six rings. He's played on a bunch of teams that have had a lot of success.
Being a nice little player.
He's a nice little player.
Yeah. All right, well, look, it's a pretty cool story from baseball. So 215-592-9494. Are you smarter than an 11th grader? A game that we will play at 8:30 today, which will be me versus a rising 11th grader. Somewhere from the Delaware Valley. And James, this kid apparently has some chops, right? That's the concept?
As far as his dad suggested, yes. That, I don't know.
Well, did you vet? You get a GPA?
I don't vet these things. I do the best job
John,
I can.
He should have had it. He should have had it.
Well, so I'm not going to be like, choose the opponent here.
Seltzer, how'd you choose?
I got emails from people and I went through and I responded and there's the one that made the most sense.
Well, hold on, John, wouldn't you think he would choose someone with a good GPA?
What was so enticing about the
It was a great email. That the dad wrote.
The dad wrote it.
So yeah.
The kid didn't write it.
No, well, none of the kids wrote it. All the parents wrote emails.
Yeah, I called bad job on Seltzer. Don't blame me if this kid don't have the chops, all right?
Going down today. You know what?
Look at
Joe. He's already talking
so
about his win.
I know.
Yeah.
I have a feeling, Joe. Like, this, it's so far past overdue. Like, you are ripe to be taken out in so many ways.
So these will be
so many ways.
Non-sports questions.
Yes.
We know I'll be good in anything that's history, but otherwise, the science and the other stuff, I really struggle in. Geography, we've had some weird answers through the years. All right, so we'll have some fun with that coming up in about an hour. Phillies, we had fun Saturday and Sunday. Now, Friday, not so much. So Taiwan, I mean, guys, I can't put it any more simple than one word. Enough. Enough. I mean, I need the Phillies brass to know that the situation has gotten way the hell out of control. You know, by the way, like, the Phillies are playing with fire with all sorts of different standings stuff. I mean, whether it's the one seed, of which the Dodgers are still a game and a half up, whether it's the two seed, the Phillies are now one game up on Milwaukee, whether it's home field advantage for the World Series, Phillies in a battle with the Yankees and some other teams in the American League for that whole thing. Like, the Phillies are going to make the playoffs, and they're very, very likely to still win this division. But, you know, enough of the Taiwan. And I got to tell you, John, for the other players, I feel bad for them.
They have to endure Taiwan nonchalance and lack of performance.
It's batting practice.
Complete lack of performance.
It's batting. So, all right, that's got
to
end.
I thought it was good that he was eating up innings
now
and that it would help our other pitchers. But
nothing.
It's gotten so far past where it's even acceptable.
It's disgraceful. All right, so, and then the Eagles game was obviously a disgrace. But the good thing is you get a real game coming up Friday next week. Looks like the Eagles should be a pretty damn good team. Let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. Your reaction to all of it, including, do you think the Phillies, with those two very impressive wins Saturday and Sunday, are they back? Steve and Cherry Hill, what's going on, Steve?
Hey, good morning, all. John, welcome back, buddy.
Thanks, Steve.
So anyway, I'm just over the entire Eagles organization. They're a disgrace. I just can't believe.
No,
they're not
a disgrace.
I mean,
but
that's
a really bad game.
The game was a disgrace, but the organization is not a disgrace.
All right, well, I'm going to tell you, I really think Jeffrey Lurie is behind the scenes. I call him Jerry Jones Jr.
No.
He makes a lot of these calls. I think they should have played the second game, these guys, and had
Me
a
too.
Dress rehearsal. And Saturday, I watched it for a whole half hour. I was blown away by these players I've never even heard of. So,
yeah, Steve, anyway. Our defense was a sieve. I thought it was very discouraging that we didn't get to see the starters on the offensive side of things for the entire preseason. I thought they mishandled the preseason, but it was a positive that Vic Fangio's beliefs are at least trickling down and the defensive side of the ball is getting a little more work. I like that. Hopefully that'll pay off for the defensive side.
Yeah, the coach can only do so much. So my hopes are like, I got my fingers crossed. So anyway, today
we're going to be a really good team, Steve. A really good team where I just don't think we can hit the ground running the way we would have had we prepared.
Well,
more
remember
completely.
This, Sean. They've never lost the opener with Sirianni.
Okay.
So, you know, there's something to be said
and
for that.
And now this is a real challenge. I'm telling you, this Packers team.
No, I know. It's the best team they all played in the first game. Steve, what do you got on the Phillies?
Phillies, I'm just happy today for the pitching coach because after Friday, I called it. If they didn't win this series, the last two games, I think he would have been gone on.
No way.
You mean the hitting coach? Pitching coach isn't going anywhere.
They got to take it out on somebody. It would have been him because they're not hitting.
Incorrect.
All right.
Incorrect.
Yep.
I'm sorry, just my friend.
Incorrect that you called that they wouldn't pinch hit for.
Correct. Oh, that's correct.
Man.
You are correct.
But there was
a real reason.
Like Jimmy Superfly Snooker from the Tales Girl.
Yeah.
Bang!
He's absolutely right.
He just took Amaro down.
He's right.
He pinned him. 1, 2, 3. It's over.
Perfect.
All right, Steve, give me an answer. What appeals to kids and adults, like the Wizard of Oz? What else does?
Pizza.
Pizza's a good answer. There's a lot of foods that are a good answer. I'd say that's one of the best. That
plain pizza.
I don't know.
You're pizza. A plain pizza guy?
No,
no toppings?
No, but
for kids, he's saying, yeah, he's right.
The toppings,
pepperoni's the only kids, one my daughter will even mess around with.
And sometimes it's too spicy if it's pepperoni. I'm telling you, it needs to be plain.
Well, it depends, in order to appeal to the broad base. All right, let's get to Jahan Dotson. Of course, the Eagles acquired late last week. Some audio of him talking over the weekend as the Eagles unveiled him at a press conference. Let's start with Dotson, you know, answering a question about how he fits into the Birds.
By doing anything possible to help this team win, get in where I fit in, and make the most of my opportunities, make the most of my role, getting to know my role right away. I don't know what that's going to be yet. I just got here a couple days ago. But, like you said, we have a lot of weapons. And I look at that as a great thing.
Look, I sure hope his role is the third, the receiver that plays the most other than A.J. and Devontae. I mean, that's what you want him to do. I mean, he should be better than the others. But
he's supposed to be.
He's supposed
to
be.
He's a first-round draft.
Yeah, he's supposed to be.
Yeah, he's got that... that pedigree, but yeah, and I love the fact that he's a local guy, a Penn State guy. I do think that matters.
That always
sometimes.
Tickles you.
It does.
Seltzer, I'm way past caring about that.
Yeah, it doesn't do it for me
either. In 1975, maybe under Paterno, maybe it mattered. It doesn't matter anymore.
Something special.
It doesn't matter
when a guy comes home.
How'd it work with Miles Sanders?
Okay, I don't know.
James Franklin to be the Eagles coach?
I think Miles Sanders outperformed his talent while an Eagle. And the answer is no.
Miles Sanders had something
Miles
initially.
Sanders
but...
was good. I never thought Miles Sanders was as good as he was supposed to be, but he had a nice Eagles career.
People, though, overrated him at times. That was clear. All right, more from Dotson because he continued on. You know, perspective based on his time, his years in Washington.
We have a lot of people who can make a lot of plays, so it's going to be fun. I've never, in all of my years of playing, I've never been on a team with this much talent. So I'm not only excited to play with them, I'm excited to learn because – we have a lot of great guys in the locker room from top to bottom. So I'm really excited for the opportunity.
All right, look, 215-592-9494. You know he'll
prove
get
it.
In there and he'll
act like it.
Yeah.
Apply yourself and show us that you're excited by, you know, working hard.
All right, so the offense should be dynamic and would have been and certainly should have been whether Dotson was acquired or not. Let's talk about the defense for a moment here. So, John, simple question to you. We've put this poll question out twice over the last month, and the results have been close to 50-50. John, is the Eagles' defense good enough? I mean, we barely saw them in the preseason. We saw some guys, a little bit.
Yeah.
But we haven't seen Slay. We haven't seen Brandon Graham.
I can't say they're good enough yet. I need to see more. I need to see them play to feel certain. I do believe we'll be better than last year. I like the idea that we're getting more aggression from our linebackers and that our linebackers are actually a lot more complete than what we've seen here in Philadelphia in recent memory. I love that we are so deep on the back end of
things.
There's
a lot. There's a lot there.
My gosh. And that gives us a lot of flexibility. So I do think the defense will be better. I have no idea if it will be as great as we hope.
Well, I want to pose the question to everyone at 215-592-9494. Is the defense good enough? You know, we had a poll question on this twice in the last month, but we never really took it on as a show topic. And look, this is a town. I mean, we are a town that in many ways built on defense when it comes to the Eagles, whether it's Berge and Dawk or, you know, pick your guy. Bednarik back in the day. Of course, he played both ways.
This defense is going to be ornery. I like that it is
Reggie,
sort of modeling itself in Vic Fangio's image to some degree. And I do think it makes a difference that Vic Fangio's decisions about playing these guys are actually being upheld.
Well, he played them more than the offense played.
Yes.
That's clear.
That's a big deal.
James, tell me if this is too far of a statement or if this resonates with you. The Eagles' defense is good enough as long as the Eagles' offense is phenomenal.
Oh, I think that's...
Too strong?
No, I think that's dead on. I think that's what this team is built.
Because that's what the Chiefs 2 years ago were.
Two years ago,
the Chiefs had an average defense that was good enough because their offense was phenomenal. Now look, maybe they'll be better than average. Maybe they'll be worse than average. I worry about the pass rush. I do worry about young corners. Even though there's a lot of options, like I look at a guy like Cooper DeJean the other day, and I say that's a person that'll probably be deactivated week one. I would be surprised.
He could give you a lot on special teams, though. I don't.
We'll see.
I do we'll not see. Know that for sure. Like the idea of him being deactivated, that's strange.
Look,
in the
he
world
missed
where
a,
these
John,
kickoff returns are going to be such a huge deal.
He missed a lot of training camp, man. And we knew at the time
that
it was going to set him back.
I understand that. But you do value a guy who's returned as many footballs as he has.
Yeah, but like, he's not touching it. Cubby's touching it.
Well, I don't know that. He's going to be the off returner, I would expect. It's possible. I would put him back there as an off returner. And so, yeah, he has the potential to catch the ball.
Who Elliott has making the team and not making the team, we'll get to that shortly. He put out a list on social media. We'll get to that really quickly. Let's get to, and also my two favorite pieces of audio from the weekend. We're going to get to that shortly as well. Ken and Cinnaminson. Ken, good morning.
Good morning, friends. How are you today?
Great, Ken.
I just want to remind everybody the last time Ruben made that declarative of a statement on the airwaves was when he said, that will never happen again.
That's what the caller was alluding to. You're seconding that.
We did find out there was a reason.
What was the reason?
Well, I can't talk about it. I have an opinion but I can't talk about it.
Oh, no.
Here we go again. Listen, on Saturday, real quick, the worst part about that game was that it preempted Go Birds Radio, because that would have been far better than what was on the TV. The only thing I took out of Saturday's game was, man, I wish Oren Burks had been healthy the whole camp, because I would have liked to have seen if that's who he is, or if that's just because he was playing against a bunch of guys that are going to be looking for jobs this week.
Yeah, that's interesting, Ken. There was a discrepancy there, and I think that's a shrewd point on your part. Like those people couldn't hold Oren's jock out there.
John, as my dad told me, the one and only time I ever scored a touchdown in organized football about my shrewd point, every now and then a blind squirrel finds an acorn in a fart.
There you go. Yeah.
On the Phillies, look, I am not convinced that this thing has turned around. And Ruben said earlier, Dave Dombrowski does not screw around. We're going to see how much Dave Dombrowski does or does not screw around, because right now Taijuan Walker is the scheduled starter, or would be the scheduled starter, for Thursday night to open the series against the Braves. And I will tell you right now, they give Taijuan Walker the baseball Thursday night, they are not serious as an organization about winning the World Series.
Ken, that's where it reminds me a lot of 20 years ago. I got to tell you, man, I thought one of the real advancements of the Phillies in recent years, 2022, Didi was struggling, bye-bye. 2023, that Familia was struggling, bye-bye. I mean, you cannot continue to run this guy out there. You don't have to solve the big picture problem of what you're going to do with him the next 2 years when he's under contract. He cannot be allowed to continue to play for this team this year. It's a disgrace. And by the way, I'm past the point of being annoyed at him. I'm now annoyed at the Dombrowskis, the Rob Thompson, whoever's truly making that decision. It's a disgrace. In my opinion, it's a disgraceful decision.
And here's the thing. Like, if I'm the manager of that baseball team, if I'm being told you have to hand him the baseball every 5 days because we're paying him $18 million a year, as the manager of the baseball team, my job is not to worry about how much money people are making. My job is to put the 9 best guys on the field every day to give us a chance.
Yeah, but within but Ken, you know, managers have to do what they're told from atop. That's the world. I mean, every employee has to do with what they're told by their boss, where they run a risk of not being the employee anymore.
I've said this before. If Jim Leland was the manager of this team and Dave Dombrowski told him he had to give the ball to Taijuan Walker every 5 days, Jim Leland would tell him to put the uniform on and come down in the dugout and manage the team himself, because I'm not doing that.
All right, Ken, give me an answer. What appeals to kids and adults?
Six Flags.
Six Flags. All right, so I'll write down
good
amusement
answer.
Parks.
Yeah, amusement parks. Good answer.
Like that.
Good
luck. That doesn't appeal to you, though, does it, Joe?
I'll say a little bit. I just pick my spots on what I go on. You know what I'm saying?
Like a little bit.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I would dig the amusement park.
This is mostly based on fear.
Fear.
Of the rides.
Total. So Joe is very afraid. You don't like roller coasters.
I do not like roller coasters.
Have you ever?
A couple times. And I get on them and I say, one nail out of place and the hammer dies. Why am I doing this?
Why do you think that?
Because
Have you ever seen anyone die on a roller coaster?
I've heard about it.
Yeah. That is possible. It's not common.
It. Yeah. I mean, it's not improbable that it could occur. It's unlikely.
It's incredibly improbable. It's
impossible. It's not impossible is what you're trying to say. It's very improbable.
Okay, that's fair. Ruben, and by the way, best answer by the end of the show, whoever provides it is going to win the tickets to the Killers. Ruben, this is the anniversary date of the Wizard of Oz debuting in 1939.
Wow.
And we said, you know, that 1931? Is something that...
39.
That really appeals to kids and adults, always has. Ruben, give me something else. Best answer whoever provides it by the end of the show is going to win the tickets to the Killers. Ruben, what's another example that appeals to kids and adults, and kind of equally, so to speak?
Wow, that's a tough one for me.
Look at you struggling. You want to think about it? You need a moment?
Yeah, give me a moment.
Yeah, how about you just go with your profession, baseball?
I'm trying to help you out here.
I thought you were an educated guy. I could think on the fly.
Let me think.
All right. while you're thinking, I want to play two pieces of audio. Actually, three. But I'm going to sum them up in two different categories. So these are my two favorite pieces of audio from the weekend. Now, I'm going to ask you, do you want to hear first that which will make you happy first, or that which will... where an announcer met the moment. So two different types of things.
What does that even met the moment?
Met the moment. So category one is something that'll make
you
happy.
That's not that intriguing.
Okay, then that'll be second. All right, let's first play what will make us happy. For those that missed it, the Little League World Series ended yesterday in phenomenal fashion. So the United States team was represented by the state of Florida, and the Florida kids were down to their last out. This is the sixth inning. It's a six-inning game. Down by a run. Hadn't scored. I mean, this is it. One more out, and it's all over. But it wasn't over because Florida rose up.
Oh, there's one to hit. This one shallow left field. It's going to get down. Anderson being waved. Here he comes. It's cut off by the pitcher. We're tied and safe at third base.
All right, what a moment for that kid with that hit. So this kid ropes a hit to left center field, ties the game. Like, what a moment for him for his whole life, right? So then you got to fast forward two more innings, because this thing goes into extra innings, and then a bunt of all things. Johan Rojas could have done this. That's what he does. He bunts the ball. A bunt, which the poor catcher from the foreign squad throws the ball into right field. This is how America wins the Little League World Series.
Alexander with the runner at second base, Norton. He gets it down.
Torn.
Why?
I don't know if you should be able to celebrate this. Mr.
Why?
America shouldn't be able to always be in the final of the Little League World Series. It's not fair.
It's not fair.
It's not
fair.
Oh, okay.
Ruben,
welcome.
I made the prediction a couple years ago, in the next 50 years. Let's say I said this 5 years ago. In the next 50 years, we will not get automatic berth into the championship round. There's about 45 years to go here. I mean, Ruben, it is kind of unfair.
It's a little unfair, but baseball was invented here, man.
Yes, it was. Yes, it was. No, congrats to those kids.
This is our place.
USA, USA, as the kids win for America. That's good. All right. So now let me get to some audio, because that was good stuff. Let's get to audio that also made me happy, but in a different kind of way. An announcer meeting the moment. So for those that missed this, I thought this was great. So the Eagles game the other day was a disgrace. We all know it was a disgrace. It was just a debacle to have such dreck out there in front of us of nothingness, as boring as any football game's ever been. When the game is wrapping up, it is time for Merrill Reese to do the disclaimer that we've all heard in every broadcast.
This was incredible.
Right? It's great.
This was amazing, Merrill.
All right. So there's always that disclaimer. This game is brought to you by, like, you know,
yeah. Copyright. Rebroadcast with the express written consent of the, yeah, exactly.
That whole thing. So Merrill, who had just freaking seen this dreck for 3 hours, he let you know he knew it was a bad product. Here's Merrill on WIP wrapping up the game the other day.
I have to read this. Please excuse me for reading this. Any rebroadcast of this game, would you
that
think
would
of rebroadcasting this game is expressly prohibited with the advance written permission of the NFL, 94 WIP, and Odyssey. And if you want to rebroadcast it, please seek psychiatric help.
How great is that?
Oh, that was the best, man.
Part of what makes him a legend.
Truly amazing.
Right? No, it's phenomenal. Yeah. So, Merrill, nice job, my man. You truly summed up the way we all... Anyone that watched that game, and I'm sure there's a lot of people that didn't, and good for you if you didn't. That's how bad it was. That Ruben, I know you were in KC, obviously, for the Phil's, yep, you know, series with the Royals. I'm telling you, Ruben, this was the worst.
That's a shame.
The worst. No, almost no regular players.
And I'm with John
bad
on this
product.
Yeah, and I'm on with John. I understand the injury issue and not, you know, the secrets and all that stuff. But when you're not taking reps when they really count. I mean, I can't believe in this day and age. I mean, Ranger Suarez went out and did not, you know, pitch in a real game. He simulated and he ended up pitching well. I'm hoping that the same sort of thing happens with the Eagles, that they don't get real reps. Right, they don't.
So
get
I'm not.
Real
I'm really not worried that Jalen Hurts didn't play. I'm not worried actually about it at all.
I can't believe.
No, I'm bothered
with a new
as a fan.
Coordinator, that it's, yeah, you that's... wouldn't at least try a run
right.
through, like at least a series or two.
Right.
Like this, we're talking their first time with the play calling system like working.
John, can I ask you a question?
Is the first time it's ever going to happen?
Right,
that makes no sense.
You're
to me.
A smart
Why
guy.
Why would you not prepare?
All right. Let me answer the question with a question. I know that's, Devin, that's against the rules, right? Answering a question with a question, you're not supposed to do that.
For everyone else, but it seems like you rules don't apply
it's
to you.
What
so.
I, it's what, I, it. It's what I do sometimes. Yeah. All right, John, here's my question to you. I'm even going to give you a Howard Eskin. Here's my question to you, genius. Explain to me how Jalen Hurts playing 7 plays would really
Why
make a difference.
Why do they have practice? Why bother having practice, Joe?
No, because that's
no,
when
no.
they're...
No, you answer the
why
question.
Practice?
They have
because
practice.
They're, because they're training. Because they have a month and a half to train. They choose to train. They work on sequences. They work on plays. They work on certain things like red zone and first and tens and second and five.
But
why
has,
practice?
Has Jalen had a 300-pound dude running full speed at him with
no.
his sole purpose is to take
But he
him.
Has many times in his life.
But not, like, it's not like the guy you can know. Tackle
not,
him recently.
Not until his first time out on the field.
And so him facing one guy, let's say it's 6th place. Let's say it's 8th place. Let's say there's one time a 300-pound guy gets near him. Like really near him. One time in 8th place. You really think that makes a difference? For next Friday? You really believe
I
that?
I think reps make a difference. If you,
Johnny gets a million in practice. He gets a million reps.
But none of those reps are at the speed, at the tempo,
well, I get
at
that.
The feeling of a game situation. And you can tell. Look, I do like the idea of joint practicing. I think they need to do more of that. They did it once. Like, one joint practice with the Patriots does not get you ready for the regular season. I'm sorry, it's just not enough.
So you
and
feel
maybe
that
that's
are...
coming from way, way back when, yeah. where we would go to camp for 5 or 6 weeks, and we were playing in 4 preseason games. I do think Real reps, when the bullets are flying, make a difference.
And how
and
do you
can't be fully ready to play football unless you've played football with cleats on and pads on and you're tackling people to the ground. That's how you get ready to play football. Well, and we haven't done enough of that.
Look, I am curious from everyone listening right now, 215-592-9494, if you agree with John that the Eagles shortchanged their preparation for the start of the season by not playing starters more or at all, you know, based on which players we're talking about in the preseason. Do you think it was a mistake or not? 215-592-9494. I don't. Now, as a fan of football, as an Eagles fan, I think the product is a disgrace in the preseason. And it's why we ask you today's Twitter poll question of the day, which is brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. Armin is offering huge savings on every leftover 2024 Equinox remaining in inventory. Together, let's drive ArminChevy.com. That's why we ask you this poll question today. Should the NFL even continue to play preseason games? I mean, should these games even continue? Four choices here. A, yes, play them, play three. That's what we're currently at. B, play two. C, yep, keep them, but only play one. D, don't play any.
You know what they need to do? Shift the whole thing into, since no one's going to play their players in the preseason, if we do the games, let's televise these scrimmages or let's figure out a way to monetize the intra-squad thing so that the players and coaches actually get what they need. The owners actually get something lucrative that they need.
But it would be a lot less.
Maybe.
Probably.
Yeah, you never know. But there's a lot of interest in what's going on in the inner workings of the preseason. I mean, people want to learn about what's going on. And, and it's clear that they just don't want to have these guys on the field.
They don't, Ruben.
Bang around.
It's as clear.
They just don't want to. It's very clear.
Do you think it matters, Ruben?
I think it really does. I equate it to, like, pitchers not pitching against, like, the when they pitch in, like, those B games. Or the hitters, same thing. They don't get, like, the actual at-bat against, you know, the starter, or enough at bats. I just feel like you have to get your, you said it, John, like your cleats on the ground. You got to get your sea legs going, and the intensity of the at bat, and you know, the intensity of the pitch.
There's something to be said.
But Ruben, what do you make of under Sirianni, and it's been a slide backwards. Might not be the right term. It's been a slide toward less play than more play of the regular players in preseason games. What do you make of the fact that he is, though, 3-0 week one? I mean, that's not insignificant.
I don't think it's about week one because the other teams are doing it too.
Yeah.
It's about
but Ruben,
the,
they didn't lose in November.
Okay, last
let me put it this
we
way.
Good.
They didn't lose in November and December last year because guys didn't play in a preseason game in August.
How do you know that?
You think it's reasonable.
You think
Jalen Hurts fell apart because he didn't play seven plays in August? You really believe that?
I think there's cumulative things that happen in the course of a year that can be affected by how you plan for the season.
Okay, well, look, we'll see where everyone stands. 215-592-9494 and all this, including the Phillies from the weekend. Nice job Saturday and Sunday. Obviously, disasters on Friday with Taiwan. What Rob Thompson said after the game about Taiwan, we'll get to that shortly. Tom in Springfield right now. Tom, good morning.
Sounds good.
Tommy.
Hi, Tom.
Yeah, I'm here.
Hey, buddy.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning, Hammer. Good morning, John. Good morning, Ruben. And good morning, Devin.
Okay. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning.
Hold on.
That was very comprehensive.
If we're going to go that far, I got to give you this back.
Good morning. And thank you for joining me.
Because Tiger Woods, you wanted to get in on the act. All right, hello.
well played, sir. Well played.
Well, the thing that was so funny about it is that was his cheating scandal. And that's how he started the press conference. He's standing there in front of like 500 reporters. Yeah, he's like,
good morning. And thank you for joining me.
Let me tell you about all these women I was with. I mean, it was so weird. Like, all right, hello, Tom. Go ahead.
So first off, sitting at PJ Wilhand's Saturday night with my eldest who was getting ready to head back to school, and we're watching the Phillies, and it was hysterical because every time Schwarber hits his double, he does the Schwarber running gif with Ted, and you know what I'm talking about if you've seen it, and if you haven't seen it, you need to go look up. Because that's what he looks like, but it was hysterical. And, you know, it was nice to see the Phillies offense get on board.
It was great. Yep.
And I need them to play well this week. I'm going Sunday night with one of my sales reps who happens to be a Braves fan.
Uh-oh.
So if I have to hear him chirp about how good the Braves are, I'm gonna vomit. So we can't have that.
No question.
You stole my thunder with the Merrill Reese audio. That was hysterical. I was in the car, and you know it's bad when Merrill's calling him on the carpet. Like, this is atrocious. Please don't do this ever again. that was bad. A thing that kids and adults both like. I'm going to go with peanut butter and jelly.
Has already been said.
Well, you know what? I'm going to go with what I'm doing right now with the camera. And by the way, we talked about it before. We need to get you out there. I'm actually playing nine holes right now. I want to get you out there. Let me know when you're free, and we'll make it happen.
Well, I appreciate that, Tom, a lot. All right, so let me say this on golf. I mean, not most nine-year-olds. No. Not most 12-year-olds.
Maybe miniature golf a bit, but it's not the same thing, really.
No. That doesn't.
I feel like that's actually a very adult, like the older you get.
Totally.
It's extremely adult. Yeah.
And it really does become the primary sport that most adults play.
Yes. Well, adult men.
I don't know that.
Well, it's physically demanding.
What? John, what sport gets played more?
You can play it as you get older. Yeah. It's not as much stress on the body.
40-year-olds don't play football.
Well, pickleball has become pretty big.
That's a big one.
It's big on like
pickleball
squash
is played
and
more
like
than baseball.
I do think racquetball, pickleball, like that's pretty close. You know,
I think it's definitely golf.
Yeah.
But those are the top ones. I mean, it's incredible. The things we grow up with, baseball, football,
tennis,
maybe even basketball, don't get played as much as some of these other things when you're an adult.
Let's hope Taiwan Walker's playing pickleball
soon, because I hope his days in baseball are either on another team soon or just not in front of my eyes. All right, let's listen to Rob Thompson. Now, I will say, not everyone's going to like his answer on Taiwan Walker, but I will preface before we play it by saying what do you reasonably expect them to say? Here's Rob. We're going back to Friday night. Here's Rob Thompson after the game on Friday when talking about Taiwan Walker.
So what did you think of Taiwan tonight?
Well, you know, I'm encouraged by the velocity, but and really should have gotten out of the first inning. Weak ground ball, base hit, kept the inning alive, and then press hits the ball down the line. But in the third inning, everything was in the middle of the plate, so it's command. But I am encouraged by the velocity.
All right, so a couple things here. First off, he's encouraged by the velocity, but I do appreciate this. He then, after spending 3 seconds saying that, gives you a but.
Immediately, too. Like, right? Was like, don't worry, I'm not only doing this, but. You know, he felt like he was like, I know.
So I think, you know, he gets it, and I think the people that focus, and there were a lot, that focused on him with the positive, I'm encouraged by his velocity. I hope more people take stock of the butt.
That's the first time I've heard him do that. This is the first time I've heard him provide a negative, because, like, why would you?
How could you
why
not?
Why would you do? But as
but you also
a coach,
can't bury
a
your guy. Can't
manager,
bury your guy.
You're right.
I mean, but most people don't choose to at this
that
point.
That is surprising, though, that he would come out and be, I don't know, like this.
He's in a super tough spot, man. I mean, listen, there's no question that the guy's not performing. And I mean, it's as obvious as can be, but the man can't bury the player.
Can't.
It's just not what he does, and he understands that. Now he also has to be realistic. The guy was in the middle of the plate. He didn't really have much. He has to be perfect with his stuff. He doesn't have the arm speed that he once had, and I think that they're still sort of hoping that comes back at some point, and it looks like it's not.
Yeah.
And let me ask you a question.
When is it,
James? Gut feeling, and I'm going to put this on Dombrowski. That's where I think it comes from. James Seltzer, is Dombrowski going to stick us with another Taiwan Walker start this season?
Probably.
This week?
Yeah, I think they're in a six-man rotation right now. I think they're going to stay with it for a couple weeks or something like that would be my guess.
Here's where I am with Taiwan. I first applied this to a guy named Paul Abbott about 20 years ago. Phillies had him, I don't know, 04, 05, whatever year it was. We're going to start. All right. I came up with what I call the Paul Abbott theory. And it means, because the guy really stunk, and it was like a loss almost every time. The Paul Abbott theory is anybody but him. Like, I know I don't know all these minor leaguers. I don't know them all. I just know this. Right now, I would take anybody but Taiwan Walker.
I don't think you would.
Ruben, there's got to be somebody that can compete better than him. Not only is it a guaranteed L, it is a guaranteed aggravation on a 10 out of 10. I mean, it sets back my enjoyment of life watching this guy pitch.
But I hate it. I don't hate him. I hate it.
It's hard to not
sports hate him.
Bleed that over.
No, no, I hate him. I really hate
him. I sports hate him.
Well, I don't.
I don't actually hate him.
Here's why I don't sports hate him. He might just be at the end.
Yeah.
I mean, some guys
might.
Could I get mad at Ryan Kerrigan when he stunk for the Eagles? Could I get mad at Haloti Ngata when he stunk? Now, this guy's a little younger, so you wouldn't expect it from a baseball pitcher his age. But maybe the arm has just thrown all the pitches it can throw effectively, and that's it.
I think that's a big part of it. Ruben, how good is Colby Allard? Like, yesterday it felt like, what was it, 8 hits? But it felt like he was solid.
Yeah, he was very good because he utilized both sides of the plate. He pitched, and he has to be perfect, just like a lot of guys who don't have a ton of velocity. He has to be able to pitch, but he pitched really well, and they had a great. I think Garrett Stubbs did a nice job with him as far as just mixing pitches and exploiting some of the Kansas City's weaknesses, and he performed, and that was great. It was a big pick me up because they needed that second win in that series.
It helped. It really did. One more piece of audio from Rob Thompson on Taiwan. Let's listen because and after that first answer, he gave another answer.
What I guess at this point makes you confident that he is going to turn it around?
Well, just the velocity jump, but you still have to command the baseball.
Really, really leaning on the velocity.
You know what he's leaning on? The butt. He's really telling you, I know this guy don't have it. Let's go to the phones. By the way, it's 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia as we broadcast today from the Tasty Cake Studio. Wonderful to be with you on this Monday morning. Reminder, are you smarter than an 11th grader? That's a non-sports trivia contest that we will do coming up at 8:30. We know I obviously specialize in the sports trivia contest. The other stuff, not so much. Although I have won in the past against kids from the Delaware Valley, but we keep upping it another year, another age. So we're up to an 11th grader now. We'll see if I can beat an 11th. And James, you basically create questions that you believe are the type of questions an 11th grader would know. That type of geography.
I do the best I can. Sure. Yes. I've not been in that age for. I actually enlisted Justin Morgenstein helping us out today. Okay. It's a lot closer to have been in 10th and 11th grade. I said, do these make sense for that age? He told me a couple that didn't. So I think I did the best job I could.
If you ask that periodic table of elements, I got no shot. Unless it's NA for salt. I know salt. That's about the only one I remember.
That's not actually salt. Deep related.
NaCl is salt.
Salt. It's NA.
It's NaCl.
It needs a combination
of things. Sodium is NA.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, yeah, don't ask that.